Well, good morning, good morning. How are y'all? Good. I just want to say a quick prayer as we open up. So, Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for your spirit here. If you all would just put your hands on your ears. So, Father, we just pray that the Spirit of the Lord would open up our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Open up our eyes to see what the Spirit of the Lord wants to speak. And open up our hearts to receive the seed of your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, this morning, the title of the message is a big one. Let's see, there we go. God's manifest presence brings sovereign moments of deliverance. Can you all say that with me? God's manifest presence brings sovereign moments of deliverance. Luann and I were giggling that that's a mouthful, but I truly believe that's God's word this morning for all of us. The word says in Romans, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I just want you to know this morning that Jesus brought me here today to bring you good tidings. I come to bring you good tidings of what the Lord is saying. And that's why we want to pray sometimes to say, Lord, open my ears. I want to hear. I want to perceive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. In the Passion Translation, I love this version. It says, but not everyone welcomes the good news. Have y'all experienced that? Yeah, sometimes even if it's not the good news of Jesus, you try to go tell them something that's good, and some ways the way their countenance is, even if they're saved, you feel like maybe they need to tell their face that they're saved, right? Like they have the joy of the Lord. Sometimes people don't welcome the good news. But fortunately, like Isaiah said here, he said, Lord, is there anyone who hears and believes our message? Faith then is birthed in a heart that responds to God's anointing. And God's anointed utterances of the anointed one. So it's important that we perk our ears up, right? It's our responsibility to participate in that facet of receiving the fullness of Christ. This morning, I truly believe that the Lord brought me here, not with a message of hype, but with a message of faith and with a message of truth to really stir up our faith. And in Timothy, Paul reminds us, stir up the gift of God which is in us. What is that gift? What's the gift of God within you? Holy Spirit. That's right. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, sound mind, right? So today, he wants us to stir up our faith and increase. I got to pray with the prayer team this morning before we opened, and I love Miss Carla LeMay and how she was praying and talking about it, stir up a spirit of anticipation, a spirit of excitement in us, because the Lord really is desiring to do something in your lives, in your family, in our churches, in the schools, in our businesses. He's really desiring to do something for this city and state and our nation and the nations of the earth. Any of you believe that? Yes. Amen. That's right. And deliverance and breakthrough is on his mind. It actually wasn't on my mind this week. I had no idea what the Spirit of the Lord was going to do, but he is creating, and I really appreciate Neil and Cece and the team in your worship this morning, because isn't there a sweet Spirit of the Lord? Truly, I could have deferred from speaking this morning had the Lord not wanted me to and just stayed in the spirit of worship. So thank you both so much. And he wants to create and release that atmosphere, and many times he actually does that through worship. He does it through his word. He does it when we just show up. I wanted to start this morning and talk about a deliverance that many of us might be familiar with, so it was something we could start out in common. How many of you are baseball fans in the room? Any baseball fans? How many of you watch the World Series? Yeah, absolutely. The Rangers claimed their first World Series title 52 years in the making. Now, if you're not a Rangers fan, I am sorry, but Amy and I are Texans, and we are Texas through and through. And so even though I can tell you and my husband can testify, I probably watched less than 5 minutes of the whole World Series, it did bless and touch my heart when the Texas Rangers won. One, because I'm a Texan, but also because they truly, from what I heard and received feedback from others, they really represented Christ well. A lot of the coaches and the players were believers, and they represented Christ well. I have a friend, some of you actually may know him and his wife in town, Greg Lemaire, and he shared a quote this past week when the Rangers won. Now, if you know him, you know he's an avid Dodgers fan. I'm sure their diehard Dodgers family, like their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, I'm sure it will go from generation to generation. I'm sure they see it as a blessing. So I thought it was interesting when he posted this statement. He says, the baseball season began with the preseason favorite to win the World Series, the Dodgers, honoring drag queens that mocked Jesus. And the season ended with the Rangers winning the World Series the day their players celebrated Jesus with a Jesus won shirt. He won indeed. I thought that was beautiful. So Matthew tells us, if you openly and publicly acknowledge me, I will freely and openly acknowledge you before my heavenly Father. But if you publicly deny me, I will also deny you before my Father in heaven. Now, many of you may ask, does God really care about who wins the baseball game? Maybe he does, right? Yeah, I think if you're a Texas Ranger and it was your year, you're happy. If you're a Giants fan, not so much. I feel like the Lord speaks through everything, doesn't he? I mean, he says he's talking through and speaking. Hold on just a second. I feel like I'm coming apart here. He's speaking through the trees. Right? He said, if you won't praise me, the trees and the stones will cry out. So I think the Lord can speak through a baseball game. Amen. And prophetically speaking, I did not have this on my radar, but yesterday the Lord started stirring my heart. And he said, Vicki, the Texas Rangers, look up what their mascot is and look up the mascot for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And when I first looked up the Diamondbacks, it shared that their new mascot is actually a bobcat. And I thought, well, Lord, that doesn't fit the scripture you gave me, so maybe I missed it. Do any of you feel like you miss God sometimes? You're like, maybe that was not him. But I felt the unction of the Holy Spirit to say, no, look more, read more. And so when I was reading more about the Arizona Diamondbacks, their mascot actually was a snake. And still is a snake, and it is the emblem on the A has a snake intertwined with its mouth and tongue demonstrated. So the Diamondbacks actually originated from the native snake of the area, which is a rattlesnake that actually has a large amount of venom. And the Texas Rangers, they started in their mascot came from the actual show, anybody watch the Texas Rangers growing up? Or Texas Ranger, yeah, with Chuck Norris. That was kind of so funny. Dave and I watched that on the night of our wedding. I mean, Dave's like ready to move on with the day, and I'm like, oh, can we watch another show, another Texas Ranger show? And he's like, this is our honeymoon, what are you doing? But I love it because the Texas Rangers typically stand for law and justice, right? And here you have the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I'm not suggesting that there's anything wrong with them. And I'm sure there's lovely people on their team and from their city that love Jesus. But prophetically speaking, I believe that game and the results of that game, the Lord was communicating a message to his bride. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, right? And Jesus, he is Lord Sabaoth, right? He is the captain of the angel army. And the Lord spoke and stirred in my spirit the scripture out of Genesis 3, 13 through 15, where Eve says, "The serpent seduced me," she said, "and God cursed the serpent and declared war between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers." And then the scripture says, "You will crush its head and it will wound your heel." And I do believe that this game where the Rangers won was a prophetic picture that the body of Christ is in this war, right? We've been in this war since the beginning of time. But I believe the Lord was sovereignly speaking to encourage our spirits and encourage our hearts that the Lord, Sabaoth, the King, the captain of the angel armies, is coming to help us. He's coming because if you're in Christ, you win, right? We're a win. I had a conversation with my pastor this week, and it was on Tuesday, and we were just discussing kingdom culture. We were discussing Wednesday night opportunities that the church provides, very similar to y'all's church here, and really identifying what has been in his heart. And he shared, you know, a lot of us, we have families, so that's somewhat our first place, our first priority. Our second place really is, a lot of us, occupation. What is it that we're putting our hands to bring in a living for our families and for our children and our grandchildren, right? But the third place was the place that I knew that my pastor always had a heart to create, which was really a covenant culture. It's a kingdom culture. It's exactly what y'all do here at the River. It's exactly what Pastor Rod and your team and your people come to this church, sometimes on Wednesday nights, sometimes you're doing it in your homes, because a kingdom culture isn't church in and of itself. Can I get an amen? Amen. But church is a part of it. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Do not forsake the gathering together." There's an importance. There's something beautiful that happens when we come together in iron sharpening iron, and we encourage each other. We pray for each other, like this church today that's without their pastor, that wife that's without her husband, the family that's without their daddy, right? That's what the body of Christ is here for. And the Lord is desiring to create this in all of our lives. He's desiring to really bring a covenant community together. And there's a difference between being in community and covenant. Can you agree? Yeah, it's the world has its own community, right? But the Lord says, be in the world, but not of the world. So there is a difference between kingdom culture and kingdom community, because kingdom culture can come together and on your worst day, they're going to show up. And kingdom culture can come together and on a birthday, celebrate and say, "Hey, we love you, Chris. We want to celebrate you. We want to value you and appreciate that you're a part of our family." And so the importance of kingdom culture and creating that third place and each of you being a part of that is God wants to connect with us. God desires to heal us, and he wants to grow us up in maturity. The Lord says we go from glory to glory. Can say amen? And the way we do this is we show up. We show up just like the disciples did, right? On the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, they showed up. It says every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone. And the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. All believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared whatever they had. Isn't that a beautiful picture of covenant community? They all showed up, and what happened? God's manifest presence brought moments of deliverance. right? Because shortly after that, after they came in and the Holy Spirit, they were coming in waiting for the Holy Spirit to appear. Tongues of fire, the word says, fell on their heads, right? They were fellowshipping, they were sharing everything they had. But once the Holy Spirit came in, he anointed them with boldness to go and preach the gospel. And they came together, they taught. When the Holy Spirit shows up, y'all, everything changes, right? Everything changes. Miracles, signs, and wonders according to the word. They were casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead, and people were coming into faith and salvation. Amen? If we keep showing up, right, we know God is going to show up. And he will do, according to Ephesians 3:20, abundantly, exceedingly above all that we could ask or think, according to his power. What power? The same power that raised Christ from the dead that lives in us, that he's saying, stir up your faith. I don't always actually operate in high levels of faith, although I do believe I keep that range pretty high. The word says he gives to us each a portion of faith, but sometimes my faith gets depleted. Anybody else? Like the cares of this world, right? The difficulties that happen, the disappointments. Sometimes it gets depleted, but I can tell you, I'll call Nancy Finley and I'll have a conversation with her. And something about that conversation, I just feel like a spark. And then all of a sudden I feel a fire, and then I feel warmth, and then I realize like, ah, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. All of a sudden, she reminds me who I am in the conversation, and I pick back up my shield, and she may put the sword back in my hand, and then I'm like, no, I'm ready to fight. Guys, we are kingdom warriors. We are God's angel army. He has an angel army. I actually believe they're in the room. But we are also his angel army, and he's anointed and appointed each of us to stand and to contend. And he will and does valiantly contend for us if we show up. And some of the ways we show up is just like this, in your secret place. Right? Bob Sorge, if you've never read his book, The Secret Place, The Secrets of the Secret Place, it's a beautiful book. I encourage you. It's a great devotional, but also it's just a reminder. Get alone with Jesus. Get alone with the Holy Spirit. Get alone. Get worship on. Pray, right? Get the word out. Be still. Listen, right? He will speak. If we will be still and listen, he will speak. He said, I love to share my secrets with you. Jeremiah 33:3, ask of me and I will give you the mysteries. I will show you the mysteries of my word, right? Fellowship with others. These are all ways we show up. And I can just tell you, it's so important that you show up, even when you don't feel like it. That's one of the reasons I know this church has such high esteem for Pastor Rod and Stacy. He's a man who shows up. Amen. He has been under assault in his body for the last 18 years. Many lesser people would have cursed God, like Job's wife said, curse God and die. But not that man, not this wife, right? Encouraged. Y'all have encouraged him. You've stayed in the battle with him. You've contended because you believe God's manifest presence, right, will do what? Bring sovereign moments of deliverance. We're believing that. We're believing that for you, Pastor Rod. We're believing it for each one of you in your lives, in your circumstances, what matters to you, what's precious and important to you. Jesus wants to show up. He wants to bring fellowship. Say it with me again. God's manifest presence brings sovereign moments of deliverance. Yeah. His kingdom, the kingdom of God, is within us. I was looking up some definitions regarding deliverance. And the Bible, it was this person who was giving the breakdown of deliverance, was speaking about the Old Testament deliverance and New Testament deliverance. And one of the things it was sharing was the Hebrew word natan means deliver over or give over into the possession or the power of another. or into the power of others, or usually their enemies. There's another terminology throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, though, that deliverance really highlights the acts of God whereby he rescues his people from danger, God's redemptive work on the part of his people. He draws out, he snatches away, he makes an escape to save. Isn't that amazing? Like, the Lord will make a way when there seems to be no way, right? So if you need deliverance in some area of your life, or your family does, perhaps you've been asking, can I implore you, don't give up. The Bible says we cannot lose if we don't give up. So keep on keeping on, right? Because he will show up in ways that will comfort you, excite you, it will bless you in every way. All deliverance express God's mercy and love. All deliverance. He's a merciful God, and he is a loving God. Deuteronomy 32 says, "See now that I myself am he. There is no God besides me. I put to death, and I bring to life. I have wounded, and I will heal. No one can deliver out of my hands." No one. Sometimes you just need to remind yourself, no one can deliver me out of his hands, right? Not heights, not depths, not angels, right? Not demons. No one can deliver us. I wanted to stir your faith a little bit, or your memory, and say, what are some Old Testament deliverances that you remember reading? Just call it out if you think of one. The Exodus. Yep. Somebody said Joseph, right? Daniel, Esther, Elijah. Yeah. There's so many testimonies in the Old Testament of God's faithfulness, right? Daniel in the lion's den, that was one of the ones I talked about. Job, right? The second half of his life better than the first, right? If you were to look, and when you read Job, right? I was telling my friend Jen, reading Job is like listening to a country song. Right? It's like, I lost my man, I lost my dog, I lost my house, I lost my job, right? It's like a bad country song, right? Maybe whoever writes those songs have read the book of Job, but beautifully for Job, it all got returned, right? Abundantly pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He got beauty for the ashes. He got the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The other story of deliverance in the Old Testament I was thinking of was Hannah and Rebecca and Rachel and Sarah, all barren naturally, right? All barren in the natural, which was a big difficulty in that time. And I would just say in today's day, it's difficult to be barren and desire to have a child and not to actually be able to walk in that, right? But God. And for these ladies, but God, and they actually did come forth and produce life. But whether you're a male or female in the room, not that we believe here that men have babies, so I just want to clarify that. But truly, we can be barren in many different ways. Right? We can be barren in our hearts, barren in our minds. We can have seasons of barrenness with our jobs, our employment, our children. And Jesus wants to remind us that he is the God of deliverance. He is the God who will come. David, sheep herder on the backside, right, of the mountain. No one thought much of him, not even his own family. But deliverance came from that sheep herder. And also, then deliverance came not only from a lion and a bear, right? But then Goliath was taken down, and deliverance came to him personally, but deliverance came because he was the king of Israel. It came to a nation. God is faithful to deliver. And as someone shared, the most infamous probably that we all connect with is the crossing of the Red Sea, the Exodus, right? The Old Testament. That God really, the Old Testament deliverance, one of the analogies was that he truly, there's deliverance really from temporal dangers, enemies, the wicked, famine, death, the grave. You'll see that all through the Old Testament. But let's shift over to the New Testament. What are some deliverances in the New Testament you recall? Peter. Yep, absolutely. Paul? Yeah, Saul to Paul, Acts 9, right? Anyone else? Yeah, the grave, ultimately the cross, right? Yes, absolutely. You know, one of the ones as I was thinking and pondering with the Lord that he highlighted to me was the story of Stephen. Sometimes we don't think of the story of Stephen being stoned as a deliverance. Sometimes we think like, oh, why didn't God show up? Like, he lost his life, and there he was serving God. I often think that when I hear stories like Miss Stacy shared with us today about Pastor John, correct? It always breaks my heart when Jesus chooses to take the good ones home. I'm like, Lord, I have a list of people I would give you that they would be good candidates. Go ahead and take them. But for some reason, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Any of you had that experience? You lost a loved one, and they were so precious to you, but also they were just like they were kingdom fighters, right? And you're like, Lord, couldn't you have taken someone else? I remember when I was a young lady and a highway patrol friend of ours, my dad and mine, he was shot 12 times, brutally, and lost his life. And I remember that was my first sobering encounter with what I thought was the injustice of God. And it just happened to be that there was another highway patrol that worked for the county at the time, and he was a bit of what I would call a knothead. My daddy would say that. He was a bit of what I would call a turkey britches. He was not a good man. He was not godly. He was doing things he shouldn't be doing. He was cheating on his wife. He just was not a good man. So when the man who I knew to be good was shot 12 times and his life taken, I wrestled with God. Like, where's your goodness? Where's your sovereignty in that, right? The month before, though, that sweet friend and dear friend of our family, he and his wife were baptized along with their two babies. There's God's justice, right? That man was actually ready to go see Jesus. He was ready to actually get delivered. And my dad, in his beautiful wisdom, said to me, he said, Vicki, if you don't steward your heart, you are going to let the enemy steal something precious of Christ inside of you, because you will be offended when God doesn't do it the way you think he should. And you will be bitter, and you will be miserable, and you will never carry out the purposes that God desires. Then this friend, Steve Booth was his name, highway patrol, right? What was his death for anyway? If you allow it to steal the seed of Christ in you, if you allow it to put a theology inside of you that says God's not good because this didn't happen. Many of us could say that, right? Many of us, everyone in this room, you have a story. You have a story where it didn't turn out the way you thought, right? Stephen's life didn't look like you would think. He's on fire with God, right? He's sharing it, says, but full of the Holy Spirit, he looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God while being stoned. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And get this latter part. Do not hold their sin against them. Is that amazing? Only Jesus could do that. Only the deliverance of the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of his presence. And I am a firm believer. I pray that I don't have to be a martyr ever, but I pray that if I am, that I too would experience like Stephen, the manifest presence come upon me, and I would see the heavens open up and the glory of God there. And even though my body may be suffering the brutality, there are people that are martyrs all across the world, all across the nation. And I just, it's my personal belief, I'll check it out with Jesus when I get to heaven. But I really do believe that God's sovereignty is with people who lose their life as martyrs for the name of Jesus, just like Stephen. I love also the story of Mary Magdalene and the demoniac. Both similar, right? Both had experiences of demons that had attached. Sometimes in this world, the demonic tries to attach to us, right? Anybody experienced that? Yeah. Sometimes that can be controversial. Sometimes Christians say, oh, well, a Christian can't have a demonic attachment. I don't know. I've seen some supposed Christians that would manifest. Doesn't make them bad. It just means they have some wounding inside that Jesus is longing to heal and deliver them from, right? He's longing to bring salvation. He's longing to give them the mind of Christ. And I love that story of Mary Magdalene and the demoniac, because how miserable to be held captive in your mind and in your emotions and in your body by one demon or two demons, or in the demoniac's case, multiple demons, right? But Jesus. Can you say, but God? But God. He shows up. And you may have somebody in your life that is in some type of addiction or has some type of stronghold. Maybe they have mental illness. I truly believe that we serve a God who wants to deliver. I believe that we serve a God that wants to show up with his manifest power and his manifest presence and do the miraculous. And he's just saying, will you participate? Will you not give up? Will you intercede for them? Will you contend for them, right? And many of you have, and the Lord says, thank you. And he also wanted to bring me to say, don't give up. Keep contending, keep believing. Pastor Rod spoke several weeks back, I believe, about the woman with the spirit of infirmity, right? She was bent over for 18 years, 18 years. That's significant, as Pastor Rod's been afflicted for 18 years, right? But what happened? The manifest presence of God showed up and brought deliverance. And obviously, the New Testament deliverance that we're very familiar with and is precious to all of us is Jesus' death and resurrection. He delivers us from sin, from evil, from death, and ultimately, at the end of life, from judgment, right? Because we get to spend eternity with him. And if you're in the room and you've never experienced that salvation, you've never experienced that, I know that there is someone that will be up here at the end of service that will pray with you. There's a beautiful book outside. It's a red book. Pastor Rod usually shows it to you guys. And it talks about why Jesus, or if you're online, call into the church, ask for that book. There's a whole family of people who will come alongside you, a covenant community that you will find here that will run and do life with you. 2 Corinthians shares, turn back to God and be reconciled to him. For God made Jesus, the only one who did not know sin, to become sin for us, so that we who did not know righteousness might become righteousness, the righteousness of God through the union of Christ. That's amazing, right? His salvation, his sweetness. Sometimes we roll through scriptures too quickly. We run through them too fast. The God of heaven manifest came as the manifest presence, the Son of God, right? To come and die for my sins. My sins and wickedness were put on him. He became sin so that I did not have to. That is the most beautiful and amazing deliverance that any of us could ever experience. Jesus longs to bring complete salvation, complete healing, and complete deliverance in every area of our lives. David Wilkerson, some of you may know him, he has this quote, how quickly we forget God's deliverance in our lives. How easily we take for granted the miracles he performed in the past. Isn't that true? Even sometimes we can get caught up in the present battle, the current situation, the call that brought bad news, right? And we can get distracted and overwhelmed, even start to experience a stirring of anxiety and fear and worry. And we forget that that is actually not the spirit of the living God that's in us, right? Because the spirit within us that we're supposed to stir up our faith and agree with says we will have love, power, and a sound mind, right? But sometimes with the news that comes, we forget to think about his goodness. The Bible talks about forget not all his benefits. There's so many benefits in serving Jesus. The world just does not know how fun he is. He is so fun. I oftentimes am driving with him in the car and thinking, at the same time he's delivering me probably from some car accident or something where I'm not paying attention, but he's so fun. And he's so funny, and I feel like I'm even funny when I'm with him because he laughs. And there's so many benefits, not only salvation, not only healing, but he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother, right? He's your companion when no one else can show up, right? When you're in the hospital, no one can be with you. Who shows up? Jesus. You're not by yourself. Right? On your worst day and your best day, he's there cheering you on. He's there excited. And the Lord wants us to remember. And I just want to take a moment and ask you, would you close your eyes for just a moment? Just take a moment to think about how has Jesus shown up with deliverance for you? How's he shown up in your life? How he's shown up with your family and your friends? How has he shown up with work? Where has he brought deliverance in your health, in your mind, your emotions, your body, your spirit? How have you experienced his deliverance in your relationships? How have you experienced his deliverance in your finances? See, sometimes we just need to be still and know that he is God. And remember what he's done. Remember who he's been. You can go ahead and open your eyes. I really believe that Jesus wants to remind us whatever is ahead. Maybe some of you are in the midst of the storm. Maybe for some of you, the reality is the storm is kind of building in the distance and you're going to go through it. But he wants to remind us who he's been in all of those other seasons of our life. And how he's been faithful, even when we've been faithless, right? How he does bring beauty, he brings joy, and he brings blessing, even blessings that were unexpected, right? That even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? We opened this year with Psalm 23, free in 2023. And yet the reality is we can get freedom even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death because he's with us, right? And he takes the pains and the difficulties and the disappointments of life and he turns it into something beautiful. And maybe not because the circumstances of our life change, but because he's with us and he never leaves us or forsakes us. And I have to believe when the Bible says it's a temporary and light affliction, right? Isn't that seem like humorous that the Lord would say a temporary and light affliction? You're like, really, Lord? Because did you see it? But then I think of Jesus hanging on the cross. And he's like, no, no, no. What you're going through, look what I took, the cross for you. So what you're experiencing is a temporary and light affliction, but I will be there with you. and I will bring miracles just like I did. I will bring deliverance. I will manifest with my presence in ways that create an atmosphere of beauty, an atmosphere of promise. That's who he is. And the Lord is saying, will you steward your heart when the deliverance doesn't manifest the way you hoped or prayed? I really think it's a fair question from him. I have a sweet friend in the room, and I've watched her, a couple actually. I've watched them steward their hearts through heartbreak, through the loss of loved ones. I've watched them do that so beautifully. I mean, I just think, Amy, I don't know why Holy Spirit's highlighting you, but I just want you to know Jesus is proud of you. Holy Spirit's proud of you. How you've stewarded your heart when it didn't turn out, right? A lot of you can relate. Miss Lisa can relate. Sometimes it's not even the loss of a spouse. Sometimes it's a loss of a child, right? Katie, Jesus is proud of you, right? When you choose not to get bitter, but you get better. I loved it this morning seeing you up here speaking and sharing. Because you know what, guys? The word says the enemy will attack us, but he said the violent will take it by force. You ladies, you men in this room, you are taking the kingdom by force. You may get knocked down and you may get kicked to the curb, but I have so much honor and admiration for how you get back up and you keep fighting and you keep showing up and you keep showing off your beautiful Jesus. Because truly, it's not a temporary and light affliction in the way our flesh would think about it, right? We can all agree to that. Like what you've walked through with your children, what you've walked through with your grandchildren, what you've walked through with parents, that's not a temporary and light affliction. It's pain. But Jesus says, if you will invite me to suffer, or you will invite the suffering of my pains, I will also raise you with victory, just the way Jesus was. Can you say amen? Amen. He cares about the pains and the disappointments and the injustices that we all experience. He's there with us. And I was pondering this week, and I think in my own life, I was just thinking, God, even if you don't manifest in the ways I'm hoping and praying, the things that I've come to know about your goodness and your kindness and your love, the things I've come to know about your character, I would leave all the rest behind to know him, right? To know his beauty, to experience that. And he has that for each and every one of us. He is a God that will share as much of himself as you want. As you lean in, as you ask, he will give, right? Because he says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Even if we start out offended, because I've been offended with him, right? When it hasn't happened the way I thought it should, I've been offended. But don't stay in offense. Don't stay bitter. Don't stay broken. And you know the reason why it's important? Is because the rest of the people in the room, the rest of the people in your family, the rest of the people in your circle of influence, in your job, right? At work, at the grocery store, at the DMV. Those people need Jesus. They need a face that looks like you actually love Jesus and you have a word, you have a sovereign seed that he wants you to release. And in the moment you release it, it's like fire that hits them. And it's not you, but it's your agreement and partnership with the Lord. And the Holy Spirit encounters them and he breaks something off of them that has been a stronghold in their life. That's why we need to show up. Because people need the good news of Jesus, right? They need the good news of Jesus. And it says, do life with God and each other, because that's where hope and healing bud, and it turns the winter seasons into spring. The Holy Spirit gave me that, but Jesus really wants you to see that picture
Right, like the hard times, the difficult times, they truly are. They're like the winter, right? When the fall comes and all of a sudden the tree actually looks dead. It's like it looks dead. Sometimes you feel dead inside, right? But the beauty about if you're in Christ, right? That tree, your life is not dead. You are not dead. You may be dormant. Maybe even in the spirit realm, you're dormant. But the Lord is saying, believe that spring is coming. There's buds blooming on your life. And you're going to be a beautiful, the word says we are oaks of righteousness. You know, that really fits for me because I'm 6'1", so I kind of feel like an oak of righteousness. But so is Cece, and so is Linda. As tiny as those girls are, they're little oaks of righteousness bursting forth in the spirit realm, right? I wanted to share a video with you by Bill Johnson, who shared this past week. And I thought what he shares, I couldn't have done it justice, so I wanted to share it with you about guarding our hearts, about when we ask the Lord, recognizing he's not a vending machine, recognizing how do we stir our hearts and not be offended.
God is not a vending machine where you put something in, pull a button, and get your answer. He is a relational Father that we walk through to discover kingdom breakthroughs in every aspect of our life. I am so thankful some of them come so quickly, almost before I think them or pray them. They happen. But there are others that take years. Why? I don't know, but I don't need to know. All I need to know is that I remain faithful to the one who has promised and make sure that I protect my heart of hope where it is always anticipating good. I refuse to have one issue in my life that I hold God hostage to. I refuse to have one thing say, well, if God really is a God of miracles, then this thing will be answered or solved. Because I don't know his process. I know his heart, this cancer is supposed to be gone. I know his heart, this family is supposed to be restored. I know his heart, this business is to succeed. I know that. I have no problem. I don't question his heart for that situation. But when I hold him hostage to the answer that I expect, what I do is I restrict myself from entering into realms of breakthrough over the many other areas of life that I'm actually facing. And sometimes the Lord wants to create a momentum for this thing that I hold so dear. He wants to create a momentum of breakthrough through other circumstances so that I have the courage and the faith and the wherewithal to persevere in this one thing that I would typically hold him hostage to.
Isn't that beautiful? Right? His words of wisdom, right? Remain faithful. All of us just take hold of that, right? When you're going through the crucible of affliction, which every one of us have, will, and likely it will come, remain faithful. Protect your heart of hope, right? When hope deferred tries to grab hold of you, shake it off. Get with your brothers and sisters. Ask them to pray. Come to worship. Come be a part of a covenant community. Do not let the enemy have your hope. And do not hold God, Jesus, or Holy Spirit hostage to the answers you expect. Isn't that beautiful? That's a great truth for us to live in. James exhorts us, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. That truly is God's goal in our life. He wants us to be mature, mature sons and daughters, right? And so the trials that you're in, the trials that you've been through, the trials that are ahead of you, remain faithful. Don't lose your heart of hope. There's always testimonies around you of God's faithfulness, right? Today's the anniversary of my husband's dad's passing, and he had Parkinson's for 20 plus years. We didn't see the Lord's deliverance in the way that we had prayed in fullness, but can I tell you that we had moments of sweet deliverance where all of a sudden, verbally, he could articulate something that for hours he hadn't been able to say. he would say something like, he would see this. I remember him and Dave watching this boat race, and I thought of it this morning. And this boat was going probably 180 miles an hour, I don't know, fast. No one could understand anything my sweet father Allah had said all morning. But all of a sudden, God's manifest presence showed up. And a moment of deliverance, he articulated, "Well, that'll rip you a new one." It was so great. God is a God of humor. He's a God of breakthrough. My pastor's mama, she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer 30 years ago. They're Southern Baptist. If any of you know anything about Southern Baptist, we're very prim and proper back in the South. And they didn't actually at that time, probably Southern Baptist typically, believe a lot in the healing movement. But Pastor Terry's mama and daddy, they would watch at home Oral Roberts, and they would watch Benny Hinn. Now, Benny Hinn can be a little conflicting to folks, right? Because sometimes we get an idea of, like, God's, like, so put together and prim and proper, right? The word says he'll offend you. So be careful, guard your heart, because sometimes how he shows up isn't the way you think he's going to. And also, sometimes there's an element of mankind where we get our flesh in it. But nonetheless, they were watching Benny Hinn, and he said, "Somebody is getting healed from cancer, so put your hand on the TV, and God wants to heal you." Now that sounds very odd, doesn't it? For some of you, you've been exposed to it, so Pentecost, that doesn't seem too odd. But for others, it seems a little strange. But Pastor Terry's sweet daddy put his hand on the TV, and he put his hand on his wife, and her testimony was the fire of the Lord came through her body. She didn't know what happened, but she believed. See, it matters what we believe. It matters that we believe that the Lord will choose a sovereign moment to show up and bring deliverance because his manifest power shows up, right? And he showed up indeed, because she went to the doctor and they took another x-ray and they said, "Helen, we're certain you have ovarian cancer, but if you look at this x-ray and if you look here today, it's nowhere to be found." Amen, right? Sovereign moments of deliverance. Sometimes, like Dave's daddy, it doesn't happen the way we hope and pray, but you'll get moments, right, of deliverance. Dave's dad would have these terrible falls because, as many of you know, with Parkinson's, it's hard to pick up your feet. And he would have these terrible falls. And Dave's dad was so sweet. Dave would go into him and see him, and he would say, "Oh my gosh, Dad, you look like, you know, Rocky Balboa. You're just beat up. We can't recognize you." And his daddy, through his little squinted eye, he would say, "Could have been worse." All of us need a David Nicholas Gish attitude that says, "It could be worse. It could be worse," because if we are with Christ, guys, we win. We win. Amen? His manifest power, his manifest presence. I want to close with a couple of more thoughts. Joshua was instructed to bring 12 stones when they were crossing the Jordan as remembrance, right? To build a memorial of God's faithfulness, of his sovereign divine power of deliverance, right? His faithfulness, his providence. My husband and I made this little makeshift memorial here today as a symbol of that, right? The Israelites were told, bring the 12 stones and make sure you tell the generations that come after of God's faithfulness to deliver them through it all, right? Today, this weekend has been Veterans Day. Well, thank you, veterans, all of you who've given your life, all that you've served, all the families of veterans here and online, we thank you, right? We remember the sacrifice. We remember the goodness of the Lord. And I really wanted to, I felt like the Holy Spirit also was saying for Israel and the United States and Nevada, the state of Nevada, as well as our family, the Lord wants to encourage you to be thinking about and praying about and remembering his goodness to our nation, to our state, to our family, right? Just like they did there. Because he wants you to, for some of you, you're going to go home today and he wants you to build an altar in your own heart, in your own life, with the thoughts and the remembrance of his faithfulness, of how he's been good, of how he's shown up for you. Give him a sacrifice of praise for his goodness. I really want us to pray this prayer together, this scripture, because we really are asking. I believe Jesus dropped that word, that statement of God's manifest presence brings sovereign moments of deliverance. It's a mouthful. But I believe he wants you to get it in your belly. And I think he wants you to come into agreement with this truth of who he is. That he has been, what does the word say? He's the God who is and was and always will be, right? He's the I am that I am. And the Lord wants you to grab hold and remember his benefits, remember his breakthrough, remember the way he's shown up for you. He wants you to grab hold and stir your faith, because I know that I know that I know in my spirit, God is coming to manifest in your lives. He's coming to manifest in this city. He's coming to manifest in this church. He's coming to manifest in your pastors. He's coming to manifest in your lives and your families over the things that matter to you. So would you say this as a prayer with me? Lord, in my place of weakness and need, I ask again, will you come and help me? I know I am always in your thoughts. You are my true savior and hero. So don't delay to deliver me now, for you are my God. Isn't that beautiful? That's a prayer to take and meditate on and believe and ask again. I believe he's telling us today, will you ask again? And he's reminding us, you're in my thoughts. I think of that they're more numerous than the sands, my thoughts towards you, right? He will be your savior. He is your hero. He will be your deliverer. Isaiah 66 speaks of, shall I cause you to be in labor and not bring it forth? Or shall I cause you to be at the time of birth and not deliver? I believe with all of my heart that Jesus has deliverance for each one of us, that he has deliverance for you and your household, that we are all pregnant. Men in the room, you're pregnant with the seed of Christ, and you're meant to birth, you're meant to carry and birth and release his kingdom everywhere you go. And I just want to thank all of you men. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for standing. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for showing up for your life, showing up for your family, showing up for your kids, showing up for neighbors, showing up at work. Thank you. And women, thank you. We are pregnant with the seed of Christ, and what we carry, he wants us to release. He wants his presence released. Can you say yes and amen? Amen. I'm going to end with a blessing. Katie's going to come on up to end the service, but I actually want to release this word. If you even get a chance this week, I encourage you, go read the book of Deuteronomy. I don't know, guys, there's something on that, even with what's happening in Israel right now. You can read Deuteronomy 33, and it's almost like, wow, that's happening now. That's happening in this very moment. So I just encourage you to read it. And so as I pray or speak this word, out of scripture, I'm praying it as a blessing over you, but we're also agreeing, right? Because the Lord blesses those who bless Israel. So we're praying for the peace of Israel and the peace of Jerusalem. Amen? So I want to pray this and receive this as the Lord's blessing over you. Deuteronomy 33. There is no one like the God of Israel who rides across the heavens to help you and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemies before you, saying, destroy them. That's his promise to you. He will drive out your enemies. And if you doubt that, start praying this scripture. Lord, your word says you will drive out my enemies before me. So Israel, so put your name in it. Where it says Israel, put your name, put your family, put your circumstance in it. So Israel will live in safety and dwell secure in the land where God's provision and refreshing are. That's his promise. He's going to bring refreshing to you. He is going to bring provision to you. Blessed are you, Israel. I say this to you, River Church. Blessed are you. Blessed are you, Pastor Rod. Blessed are you, body of Christ here. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? Jesus, thank you for saving us. He is our shield and our helper and our glorious sword. He is the sword that cuts between soul and spirit, bone and marrow. He is our glorious sword. Our enemies will cower before him, and we will tread on their heights, right? Remember that scripture I mentioned? It says the enemy will wound your heel, but you will crush its head because of Christ in us, right? So I just release that blessing of the Lord on you. Thank you for being here today. Go with the peace of the Lord, the shalom of the Lord, and I just encourage you, stir up your faith. Come, be a covenant community with each other. Take Jesus everywhere you go and know that he will deliver you. He will come with his manifest presence and bring sovereign moments of deliverance. Amen.
Okay, that was amazing. Thank you, Vicki. Let's give her one more round of applause.